So St. John chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that cometh not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me, or all that ever came before me, are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man entereth in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and my sheep, and I know my sheep, and my sheep are known of mine. The Father knoweth me, even as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Now, this is a very awesome word. Awesome word. And Jesus himself is preaching to us here. He's really talking to us here this morning. He's letting us know that he's the shepherd. He's your shepherd. He is our shepherd. You got any other shepherd, you got the wrong shepherd. If you're running to anybody else for help, you're running to the wrong shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. He never brings you bad. He never brings you evil. He never thinks evil. He never plans evil. He never uses the devil to help him out. He is so good, and all he ever thinks about is good for you. He doesn't make you sick. He doesn't make you poor. In fact, he says right here, he said, it's the thief that comes. It's the thief that steals your money. It's the thief that makes you sick. It's the thief. Did Jesus say that or not? Did he not say in 10:10, it's the thief? Jesus is not a thief. God is not your thief. God is not a thief. He does not come to kill you. He doesn't plan your demise. He doesn't steal your babies. He doesn't steal your job. Health robs you of your money. Health, your bad health robs you of things. Sickness and disease is not a good thing. It's a bad thing. It's from the thief. We've got to understand there's two forces in this universe. There's the force of good and there's the force of evil. And there's two gods in this world. There is the God of this world, who is the devil, and there is the Creator, who is our true God, the Creator, Almighty God. And both of them want you. Both of them are out to reach you. Both of them want your thoughts life. Both of them are out to make you think the way they want you to think. And you have got to decide here and now, child of God, whether you're going to think like God wants you to think, believe like God wants you to believe, and do what God wants you to do so you can have the abundant life that Jesus promised you. It really is all about you more than it is about God. God has already provided abundant life for you. He's already provided healing for you. He's already provided anything you could ever want from God. Anything good comes from God, and He made provision for you to have it because Jesus laid down His life for you to have it. Now, it's really up to you to decide to serve God and to receive all that God has provided for you. It's really about what do you believe. It's really about what do you think. Because He's already made it very clear. He is the good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. When I say good, I can't even express how good is. He is so good. He is so wonderful. He is so awesome. I tell you, I know Jesus, and I've never met a man like Jesus in my life. I've never known a man who would never lie to me. I've never known a man who would never steal from me. I've never known a man who would never cheat on me or do anything bad to me. I never knew a man who was just absolutely perfect in every way. I never met a man like this. But I met a man one day named Jesus Christ who came into my life at the age of 22 years of age. And he said, if you'll just put your hand in my hand, if you'll just come and surrender your life to me and let me teach you how to think right, let me teach you how to talk right, let me teach you how to pray right, let me teach you how to believe right, and you're going to see abundance in your life like you could not ever have imagined. That's what the Lord said to me. Because I'm the good shepherd and I give my life for the sheep. I gave my life for the sheep. A man who would die for you would do anything for you. I have never been able to pray a prayer in 35 years that was too hard for God. Ever. Ever. Never prayed a prayer in 35 years that was too difficult for God to answer. And there'll never be a time ever in my life that I'll ever find a time that I cannot receive from God. Because He's good. He's good. That's all I can tell you about Him. He's so good. He is the good shepherd. Amen. If you've got a problem and you're worried and you're nervous and you're shaky and you're jerky, it's because you're not thinking right. You're not thinking right. Jesus says, I want you to understand there's two ways of thinking. There's right thinking and wrong thinking. There's only two. You're either thinking right or you're thinking wrong. There's no in between. There's no gray areas in the kingdom of God. Either you're serving God or you're not. Either you're in or you're out. There's no straddling of the fence in the kingdom. You've got to believe this word, and that's all there is to it. You just got to believe it. You just got to believe it. Jesus is the good shepherd, and He said this so clearly. He said, my sheep know my voice. Do you know what the voice of God is? It's His word. His voice is being spoken right here in front of you, right here. But you got to hear it. You got to be willing to hear the voice of God. You got to be willing to listen to God and agree with God. You got to fall out of agreement with the wrong voices. You got to fall out of agreement with the devil. You got to stop believing that God wants you sick. You got to stop believing that, completely erase that out of your mind. Because God never made you sick. He never thought about you being sick. He never planned for you being sick. In fact, He went to a lot of trouble to get you healed and to bring healing into the earth. Why would a man who would die for you want you sick? Why would He say in Isaiah 53, He bore your griefs, He carried your sorrows, and the iniquity of us all was laid upon Him? Why would He give His life to see you sick? Why would He suffer just so you could be sick? That's a lie. That is a lie that's been perpetrated by the church. It's been perpetrated out of the pulpit. It's been perpetrated in the religious circles of man, and it's a lie. The devil is a thief. I came to give you life. I came to give you life abundantly. Do you know what abundance is? Abundance is more than you know what to do with. He wants to give you more health than you ever knew what to do with. He wants to give you more joy than you ever had. More joy than you even can contain. More joy that you can know what to do with. Can you imagine having so much abundance, having so much money, having so much blessings that you just don't know what to do with it all? Well, you know what you do with it, you share it, don't you? I share this word. I share this gospel because I know it's the truth. I've got more peace than I know what to do with. I've got more joy than I know what to do with. I've got more healing than I know what to do with. And I share it everywhere I go. I share this message of life everywhere I go because He's the good shepherd. He really is a good shepherd. And I know his voice. I know his voice. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Hallelujah. Do y'all see that? Y'all see that? There's two voices. There's the voice of the thief and the voice of the shepherd, the good shepherd. Every knee will bow one day. In fact, right now is the time to do your bowing. Right now is the time to do your kneeling and your praying and your confessing. I'd rather do it now than wait till it's all said and done, wouldn't you? Oh, glory to God. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings, or my voice. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids straight look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Verse 20, I want to bring attention to that verse. He said, my son, attend to my words. When you're attending to something, you're on your way to a business meeting. You got to be there on exactly at 10 o'clock. And someone runs along to you and says, hey, I got to talk to you. No, I can't talk right now. I got something to attend to. In other words, you put importance on it. No, I need to tend to this. This is something I need to attend to. I've got an appointment to attend. I've got to make sure I keep this appointment. Every one of us has an appointment with God. We have to attend to his word if we want this abundant kind of life. If we want to know the shepherd, we need to attend to the shepherd's words. We need to come to know Jesus on a personal level. Not know Jesus way off somewhere and afar off, but I mean, know, really know Jesus. Jesus is not hard to find. He said, and you shall find me when you shall have searched for me with all of your heart. I tell you what, I want to lead people to Jesus. I want people to know Jesus on a personal way. There was a young man come here the other night, and I said, you're going to feel Jesus tonight. Do you want to feel the presence of God? Have you ever felt the presence of God? Many people tell me, I've never felt the presence of God. We're going to feel the presence of God now because I walk in the presence of God. I talk in the presence of God because I talk and walk in his word. You cannot separate God from his word. Did you know that? The more words you have, the more revelation words you have, the more Jesus you have. Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. Now go with me to Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to show you something else here. I got several scriptures on my heart this morning. Hebrews chapter 1. Hallelujah. Receiving this word this morning. Amen. I'm excited about Jesus. I've been excited about Jesus for 35 years. I don't plan to ever. He's so exciting. There's nothing but excitement in the kingdom of God. Nothing but wonderful things in the kingdom of God. And let me show you why it's so wonderful to serve God. Why is it so wonderful to serve God? Why is it so wonderful? Because he's the good shepherd. I've never gone to God and ever had him turn me away. In fact, Jesus said, anyone that would come unto me, I'll never cast out. I'll never send you away. I'll never be too busy for you. He says in another place, he says, come you all you that are heavy laden and weary, and I will give you rest. Learn of me. I've never seen a time Jesus ever said to me, Trace, I just don't have time today for you. You're not important today to me. I just don't have you on my schedule today. I never had a time where Jesus could not come and talk to me and help me and encourage me. I've never known a time that he ever sent me away empty-handed. Anytime I ever came to Jesus, I walked away with something. He's answered every prayer I pray. I've never known a prayer that I couldn't pray that he couldn't answer. Not one prayer. If you know his will, you can pray the word and you can receive whatever he says you can have it. That is worth serving God for right there. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
If you know that you have the petition that's received of him, you know that you have it. Whatever you ask, he says, anything you ask the Father in my name, I'll give it to you. Anything you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name, ask that you can receive that your joy might be full. I'm telling you what, I got some joyful joy in my life. Even in the midst of crisis, even in the midst of troubles, even when things look bad. Because, see, I have two eyes. And you have two eyes, whether you realize it or not. You have natural eyes and you have spiritual eyes. You have natural ears and you have spiritual ears. It really is a matter of who are you attending to? What voices are you attending to? Are you attending to the natural voices of this world with your natural ears and eyes? Or are you attending to the Word of God, which is spiritual? The Word of God is very, very, very spiritual. It's very, very powerful. In fact, in Hebrews it says, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between the soul and the spirit and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there not any creature that is not made manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto Him with whom we have to do. The Word of God is a person and He sees everything. The Holy Spirit agrees completely with the Word, and you have the Holy Spirit within you. But in Hebrews chapter 1, and look at verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. There was a time before Jesus' birth, before Jesus came as the good shepherd and laid down His life, there was a time, there was only one way God could speak to His people, His covenant chosen people, people of Israel, the nation of Israel. There was only one way He could talk to them, and it was through the prophets of old. They called them seers back in those days. And they were men that were called of God, set apart like Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah. There was many prophets. You can read about them in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And God used those people to warn the nation. He spoke to them. They would seek them out if they had a problem. Kings would chase them down for an answer. But in this time, verse 4 here, He says, God, there was a time when God only spake by the prophets. And look what He says, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. You don't go get a word from the prophet anymore. You don't go run after prophecy anymore. That's not where you get your voice from God. It's prophecy is okay. It's a wonderful gift in the body. It's to edify, it's to encourage, and it's to build you up. Edification, comfort, but it's not to be led by. Never in the New Testament scripture is it scriptural to be led by the prophet, to be told what to do. We're told what to do by the Word of God. The Word of God is the voice of Jesus. And it says right here, He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Did He just speak one time? Or is He still speaking to the church? He's still speaking to us. He's still speaking. Have you ever just been washing dishes? This happens to me all the time. Washing dishes. I don't know what it is. I do a lot of dishes, I guess. Phrase kids. And the Lord would say, you got to go pray right now. And I'd say, right now? Peeling a tater. Pray right now. But I'd like to finish this tater. No, pray right now. How many times the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go pray right now. Go do this right now. Make this phone call right now. Go see somebody right now. One day I was on my way to church. And I'm driving along. I'm really running a little late. Understand when folks run late. You know, I had three kids. And I'm running late. And I drive around this house like I always did on my way to church. And there's this lady out in the yard. And all of a sudden, I had a vision kind of in my mind of a day when we didn't have cars that go 70 or 80 miles an hour. In a day when we had horses and buggies. And the max speed was probably 5 miles per hour. And the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, if you were driving right now by this house, 100 years ago, you'd be in a horse and buggy probably, and you'd be able to have a little conversation with this woman working in her yard. And I thought to myself, yeah, but I ain't got time. And I'm flying around her. She lived in a curve, so her house was kind of like in a curve. And I thought to myself, Holy Spirit said, go back and talk to her. I'm running late for church, Lord. Go back and talk to her. Go back and talk to her. So I turned my car around and I went back and I pulled in her house and I knew her daughter and I went to school together. And I said, hello, Miss Lybrooks. I said, I'm on my way to church this morning. And, you know, she hadn't seen me in a long time. I used to ride horses with her daughter. And I said, I lived out in the country up in the hills, and I said, I was just driving by, and I just had this flash of a thought that if I was driving a buggy and going to church, that I would be able to witness to you and talk to you about Jesus. Can I witness to you about Jesus? Can I just tell you a little about Jesus? I said, I got born again. And Jesus appeared to me in my living room, and I have had an experience with the Lord. He is so alive, and he's so real, and he talks to me. He speaks to me. He answers my prayers. And I said, I just want to invite you to know Jesus. I just want to invite you to come to church with me sometime. Now, I go to a pretty wild little church now, I'll warn you. You know, they're a little wild, but you get to know Jesus. And do you know that woman came to church with me and gave her heart to the Lord and was one of the greatest soul winners I've ever met. And still serving God, far as I know, years and years later. But if I had not obeyed the voice of God to turn around and go back, see, I attend to his words. You see, it's life to those that find it and health to all their flesh, but it's those who attend to his words. And it's not just tending to the words that you read in the Bible, but it's being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and the words that God would speak to you concerning a situation or a person or a thing. God is always talking. And he says in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. The Son is not dead. The Son is very alive, and he is the head of your body, the church. You are his temple. The Holy Spirit is the only Godhead in the earth today working in the believer's life. And he says, the Holy Spirit says this. He says, the Holy Spirit only speaks what he hears. He hears Jesus. Jesus is speaking to you. Jesus has got a word for you. Jesus has got a plan for your life. And it's always good. It is always good. It's never bad. It's always good. But you know, the problem is not God. It's not problems, never God. God is saying, attend to my words. Spend time with me. Take some time to get to know me. Seek me with your whole heart. You'll find me when you seek for me with your whole heart. I love feeling the presence of God. I love feeling God. I love being in the basking and the glow and warm presence of Almighty God. Anybody ever enjoyed the presence of God? Woo! I've been in churches where you walk in and it's stone cold in there. And I don't stay in those places very long. I want to find a living God. I'm out to seek the living God. I've got to have a living God working in my life. I got to know the power of God. I got to know what it's like to have a prayer answered. I got to know what it's like to see a fever leave somebody. I got to know what it's like to see a leg grow. I got to know what it's like to have an answer to prayer. When I pray for somebody, I fully expect recovery if they're sick. I fully expect my God to hear my prayers because I hear his voice. It's a two-way road with God. You expect God to do for you, you need to do for God. You want God to answer your prayers, you need to be doing something for him. Hear his voice. Hear his voice. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and my sheep, they hear my voice. And they follow me. They don't follow the stranger. Oh, come on, let's go over here and do this tonight. Let's go over here and play this and this. Let's just do that. And something you know is just yuck. And you listen to those voices. And you say, nope, I've done been that route. I know there's no good there. I'm going the right voice. I'm following the voice of God because I'm after something called abundant life, abundant joy, abundant peace, abundant everything good. Abundant everything good is waiting on you that hear the voice of God. So he's spoken to us in these last days by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Do you believe that Jesus took your sin? He did. He did. He took away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. That's what John the Baptist, that's how he introduced him. Here comes the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. No more shedding the blood of bulls and goats to cover sin. We have someone who abolished it. Now you can be redeemed. You can be born again. Become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. All things become new. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You can really fellowship with God now. See, sin separates us from God. and sin consciousness. Even after being born again, you can still have sin consciousness and be so conscious of sin. Wow. Wow. Why is it I'm so conscious of my wrong and how bad I was and how bad I am? Because you've not been renewed in the spirit of your mind yet. Be not conformed to this world in Romans chapter 12, but be transformed by the renewing of the way you think. Stop thinking in the gutter. Stop thinking sin. Stop thinking negative. Stop thinking about all the bad, sad, and gloomy of stuff that's happened in your life. And get over in the kingdom of God and let it be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you can prove. Let me show you that verse. It's in Romans chapter 12. And this is where you get involved. This is where every single believer gets involved in their walk with God. I'm involved in a walk with God. I'm very active in my walk with God. I'm a very active believer. I learned how to get involved with my walk with God. It's not a one-way street here. It's a two-way relationship. I'm in a relationship with Almighty God Himself through the Son. And He came and made His real reality to me. And He said, who the Son will make free is free indeed. There should never be a reason you're ever depressed. There should never be a reason you need a pill. There should never be a reason you walk in sickness and disease. There should never be a reason that we aren't free from all the works of darkness. And I'm not speaking condemnation if you're on a pill, because I've been on many a pills. I've been on many a drugs. I've been on many a depressed. Believe me, I know where I came from better than anybody. But He had to change the way I thought. I had to begin to see myself healed. I had to begin to see myself whole. I had to be seeing myself made whole, spirit, soul, and body. By attending to the Word, you can get there. And it may not happen overnight. Didn't happen for me overnight. But I began to attend to the Word of God because it really is life to those who find it. And it's really health to all your flesh. It's health to your finger. It's health to your toe. It's health to your eye. It's just health to everything. It's health to everything. The Word of God will teach you a lot of things about yourself and about other people because it's Jesus. Jesus is His Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. You cannot separate God from His Word. And the more you fall in love with Jesus, the more you're going to fall in love with His Word. And you let the Holy Spirit teach you. You can't learn this Bible without His help. The Holy Spirit came to be on board in your life to be your teacher, your guide, your helper. He's the one who will reveal Jesus to you. He'll reveal the goodness of God to you. I don't believe you're here by accident today. I don't believe this message is from me. It's from God. You're hearing a word from God today. And it's an encouraging word to challenge us to get to know Jesus, the shepherd. Because He said, I came to give you abundance, a life, and give it to you more abundantly. Oh, my goodness. Can we picture that just for a minute? What's it like to have abundant life? Wow. Abundant life. Abundant life. Mm. If you tend to His words, you can have abundant life. If you listen to the Holy Spirit talking to you, you'll have abundant life. If the Holy Spirit ever said, you better not do that, well, you came to give me abundant life. I can do anything I want. Nope, better not do that. Oh, come on now, Lord, you know. Didn't you come to save me? Didn't you save me? Didn't you come to give me abundant life? You better not do that. You better not go there. You better not hang out with that person. You better not do whatever. Or you better not do this or do that, and you just say, oh, but Jesus loves me, and really, I'm walking by faith here, and I'm a faith person. Better not do that. Well, you're not attending to the Word of God, so you've stepped out of attending to the Word, and you're now attending to the wrong Word. You're attending to the wrong voice, and you get out there away from the covering and the protection of God by not attending to His Word, and you get in trouble, and then you want to blame God. Something bad happens. You have an accident. You have some, your sickness opened a door to the devil for sickness or whatever came. But you didn't attend to the Word, because it's not just looking at the Bible. It's having a vital, living relationship with the Holy Spirit Jesus speaks through in your heart as the Good Shepherd. And He leads you and guides you every single day into only good pastures. He said, I only lead them into good pastures. They go in and out. They enjoy their life. They don't have to worry about a thing because they're attending to the voice. They're listening to the Good Shepherd. And the good shepherd would never lead them in the wrong territory or lead them in the wrong place or put them on in a car where they shouldn't be or somewhere they shouldn't go. But the devil will. The devil will. The devil will take you down the wrong road. The devil will try to kill, steal, and destroy because he's a thief. That's all he knows. And you better not listen to his voice. Mm-mm. Better not. Better start getting serious with the things of God and listen to the voice of God. Tend to his voice. God will never lead you into bad. God will never lead you into wrong. God will never lead you to do the wrong things or say the wrong things or do the wrong. God will never, ever, 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 ever bring you hurt, harm, or destruction. Ever. But the devil will. And it all begins with a voice. It all begins with a voice. It all begins with a voice. And you're smack in the middle of it. And it's your decision. What voice are you going to listen to? Whose voice are you going to attend to? Or attend to? Paul was was a prisoner. And he perceived that this voyage is going to be to harm. Did they listen to him? No. He had some insight, didn't he? Yes, he did. He had some insight. He really had some insight. Glory to God. Did I say Romans chapter 12? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Probably one of the most important works of instruction here, or words of instruction that any believer could ever hear. Any believer, all believers. I beseech you therefore, brethren. And by the way, this is not written to sinners. Sinners cannot lay hold on these promises. Unless you've been born again by the Spirit of God, unless you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and you accept Him into your heart, and you've been born again and you've been made a new creature, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, unless you have made Jesus your personal Savior, none of these things I'm sharing with you apply to you, ever. Believe me. Believe me. You understand. You're a unique group of people if you're born again. You must be born again, Jesus said. If you're not born again, you cannot even see or understand the kingdom of God. Must less enjoy the benefits of it. You got to get born again. Jesus said this. He said, what would a man give for his soul? And what would man give in exchange of his soul? What price would you pay on eternity? There's no price. But we live our lives as Christians like we're just getting by, doing the best we can, not attending to the word, not letting God lead us and guide us. And then we complain that things aren't going right. And Jesus said, I came to give you life. I laid down my life for you. Just read chapter 10 of St. John. I laid down my life so you could have abundant life. The Father gave me the commandment. He said, I take it. I obeyed my Father and I laid my life willingly down. And I had a commandment to take it back again. And he did. He really did. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. You can go boldly now through the throne of grace to receive grace, mercy, and help in the time of need. I talk to Jesus all day long, every single day of my life. Because he's the good shepherd. And I need the good shepherd shepherding me. People want to shepherd their own lives. And they get in trouble. They cry and bawl and blame God for it. It's amazing. I did it. I did it too. But I'm learning the hard way sometimes. Hear the voice of God. Run to God. Seek him with your whole heart. Listen to God. He'll lead you down green pastures. Psalms 23, he's the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. There's a wicked world out here. You need the shepherd. Shepherding your life. You need to tend to his voice too. And Romans chapter 12 is a real good place to go. And look at what it says to the believer. This is for believers now, not for sinners. Don't be trying to get your neighbor converted and tell him you better live right for God. Mm-hmm. You got to lead him to God first. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it, can you? But you at least got to present to them, hey, there's a better way to live. There's a way of life here. This is a way of living. And it's called abundant life, abundant living. Thank you, Jesus. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, who's he talking to here? Brethren, Christians, So that means 2,000 years ago, there were Christians and church people who needed to do this. Do you think there's not folks today who need to do this? Christians? We all need to do this. We all need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. The thing about a living sacrifice, it always wants to crawl off the altar. Did you know that? Did you ever notice that about living sacrifices? You ever take a... I've never sacrificed anything on an altar, but I can imagine that this animal's looking around thinking, well, here comes the knife. I'm going to get out of here. A living sacrifice can move off of the altar. The key is you stay right there. Because the altar God is good. The altar God is always good. When you lay down your life, and take away your selfish want, ways and ideas, and you give them over to God, and you said, okay, I'm going to surrender my life to you. I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm going to trust that you're never going to lead me in anything bad. I'm going to lay it down here, and I'm going to say, okay, here it is. I've been the captain of my ship long enough. I've led myself down the wrong road too many times. I've messed up my life so bad. I've thought and did what I wanted to do enough. And I opened doors to the devil so many times that I'm tired of getting whooped up the side of the head. I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of being depressed. I'm ready now, God, to surrender to you. Well, and do it your way and start attending to your words. That's basically what happened to me. I was one of them brethren that instruction was sent to. Give your life up, Teresa. Give up your life for God and let God use you to do something beautiful for you and others. Become a living sacrifice. Now I go wherever he tells me to go. Now I pray when he tells me to pray. Now I fast when he tells me to fast. Now I read the Bible when he tells me to read the Bible. Now I enjoy my life to a fuller way than I've ever enjoyed it ever. I have abundant life. If I need money, I command money to come, and it comes. If I need health, I call health in, it's there. I walk in health every day. I never have a down day. I never have a sick day. I never have a poor day. Because I have the abundant shepherd on board. Now, I know this sounds out there to some folks. But it really is about what are you attending to? What voice are you listening to? Yes, I have attacks. Yes, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy my life like everybody. But I got the shepherd. I know the shepherd. I know the shepherd. And I stay kind of close to him because he's not a hireling. You see, a hireling will see the wolf come and the hireling will run. Woo, let's get out of here. Jesus never did that to me. Jesus never jumped ship on me, ever. He always got me through the situation. He always took me to the best route. He said, no, let's go this way. Here's a better pasture. Here's a better place to go. Here's a better route. Let's go this way. It pays to know what God is telling you to do in a given situation. It pays to be able to hear, have an ear to hear. When God says, this is what you need to do, or you need to invest some money here, or you need to do something here with your finances, or you need to do this over here, or you need to give over here, or you need to go over here. And where you go to church is a matter of life and death as well also. You can listen to the wrong voice in that area too. It pays to go to where God leads you, whatever God leads you to do. It pays to hear the voice of God and be led by God. Be led by God with who you marry. Be led with God by who you hang out with. Be led by God in every single area of your life. Hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Am I preaching to anybody? Listen to God. And then we won't be blaming God for anything bad. Because he says, I only lead you into good pastures, right? Now this is the part I wanted to get to. Once you've done your part here, and you've said, okay, here I am, God. Wherever you want me to do, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to lay my life down for you. Then it says, now you've got something else to do. Not only do you just do that, this is your rest of your responsibility in serving God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, who renews your mind? We're used to having everything done pretty quickly. In other words, my sister just gave me about 300 photographs on a little hard drive, and I was able to plug them in. Went to her house in Texas, pulled them off her computer, then took them to my computer here in Kentucky, plugged them in, and boom, they're there. But who had to do that? I had to do that, didn't I? It didn't happen because it wanted to happen or because I wanted to happen. I had to make an effort to get those pictures off her computer with a device and bring it home and put it in there for me to have access to them. on my hard drive. So there is a part that we play in receiving the Word of God in our own way of thinking. And I had to be transformed by the renewing of my mind by me doing something. By me attending to the Word of God on a diligent basis, me seeking God on a diligent basis, me laying down my old stinking flesh that screams and yells and said, no, you'd rather be over here doing this. You'd rather be over here doing that. And no, you need to be on the phone talking to this one, or you need to be over here doing that, or watching this TV show, or yes, this is more important. And the voice of the shepherd is saying, you need to pray. You need to pray now, and you need to read the Word now, and you need to turn the phone off now, and you need to turn the TV off now, and you need to skip that meal today, or you need to skip that thing. If I hadn't heard God many a time, I don't know what would have happened to me. Like that time I shared with you in the middle of the night, the lights go out in the car. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me that morning. I'm fixing pancakes for my kids, and the Holy Spirit said, fast this meal and pray right now. So I obeyed. And I can't tell you I always 100% obey, but I'm glad I did that day, because that night He spoke to me after I ran to pray, and he began, the tongues and interpretation came, and he told me, he said, before this day is over. See, he had a word for me. He had to get me quiet. He had to get me, I'm busy with my kids. I'm homeschooling my kids. I'm busy, busy, busy. We're also, our brains are just so busy, busy. He had to get me quiet. He had to get me on my knees, because sometimes we are just so busy thinking, talking, and on the phone with people, doing, that we just need to get along with God so God can tell you something. Get along. Talk to God. Put everything else aside. And it could be in the middle of the day he tells you to do this. He told me right in the middle of a meal. A breakfast and breakfast for those kids. And so I had to drop it when I heard the Holy Spirit say, go pray right now. And I did. And he spoke to me. And it was wonderful. Because he told me, he said, before this day is over, you're going to pray and you're going to see a miracle. And you're going to know that it was I that did it. We're out in the middle of nowhere on I-64. About 2 hours out toward going toward northeastern Kentucky, and the lights completely go out in the car. Completely go out. Not a headlight, and there was no moonlight. It was just pitch dark. Didn't know even where we were. Back in those days, you didn't have GPSs. I don't think we even had a flashlight in the car. And it was just a pretty desperate situation, but then the Holy Spirit reminded me what God had said to me. Shepherd, see, I have a shepherd God. He's my shepherd God. And he spoke to me and he said, remember what I told you this morning? Yeah, you're going to pray. Now it's your job to pray. Do I know how to pray? Oh, yeah, I've learned a lot about how to pray right. A lot of times we don't even know how to pray. We find ourselves in a crisis and all we can do is, oh, God, help God. We're like the guy going down for the third time. I'm going down, God, for the third time. We don't have a clue how to pray. Because we've not spent time in the Word. We don't know how to pray. We haven't learned how to pray. There's a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray. Mm-hmm. So I told my husband, I said, listen, God spoke to me this morning. I'm sure he really thought she's nuts. God spoke to me this morning, told me to pray, told me I was going to see a miracle, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to see a miracle, and I'm going to know that God did it. So just, he was about to flip out. Had three kids in the back seat. We still got 4 hours on the road ahead of us. And 2 hours behind us, we're stuck. I said, I just believe God. And I've laid hands on that car. And I said, Father, you said that before this day was over that I was going to pray and I was going to believe and I was going to see a miracle and I would know that you would do it. So, Father, turn these lights back on, get us all the way to Mary's house and let them don't come back on until we get there in Jesus' name. Instantly, those car lights came back on. Instantly. We drove 4 more hours or 3 more hours and the minute we pulled into the driveway, the lights go out. Just like I said, I got exactly what I prayed for. Exactly. Exactly. It is an amazing thing. And those things, kinds of things have happened in my life many times. I've had many encounters. We're just supposed to walk here. This is where we live. We attend to the words of God. It's life to those that find a help to all their flesh. Now, I don't say don't attend to a doctor's words. But the doctor's words are not the final say-so. The Word of God should be the final say in everybody's life. It should be the ascendancy in your life. It should take authority over every other word that you hear. But not everybody's there yet in their faith. So we work, we strive, we grow, don't we? Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We learn these things sometimes through trial and error. The mistakes we make, We learn to get up. You know, I've learned Psalms 15 is a powerful, powerful promise. And there's a place in that Psalm, Psalms 15, that says, he that sweareth to his own hurt but changeth not. I've just learned not to change. Keep on what I know is true and stay on it. Just like a bloodhound. I might lose the scent, but buddy, I know there's a scent there to get back on track. I'm going to get back on track. Like the weevils wobble, but they don't fall down kind of thing. I just get back up. Just get back because I trust God. I just believe. I'm a believer, and that's what believers do. They believe God. Now, this is the part that's believing, and I'm getting ready to close here. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Remember, Jesus is good. God is always good. He never plans bad. He never thinks bad. He's good. When you renew your mind, when your mind gets renewed to the word that you're attending to, the word of God, and it's exciting because now you're in the driver's seat and you can prove. You can prove. Does it say you prove? You prove. You prove what is the good. No, I thought God had all the work to do. I thought God did all of it. No. You put the word in you. You attend to the word. You start believing the word. You start seeing the image of the word. You start knowing that God is true. And you start hearing what God is saying about all these areas of your life. And the next thing you know, it's just a natural response to prove it. It's a natural thing to prove the word of God. It becomes natural to you. It becomes like a duck on water. Do you think ducks land on water and think, what am I going to do here? They know what to do on water. You know, animals that live out in the wild, they're natural. That's their natural habitat. You get to where you know the word of God to the place where it just becomes comfortable to you. And you prove it every day. It becomes first place in your life. It just becomes a natural way to live, a natural way to experience. When you hear God say something to you, you just say, oh, yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir, yes, sir. Whatever you say. You have respect for that word, high respect, because every knee will bow, every tongue will confess he's Lord. And I just soon do it now, and I just soon prove now what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God. You can prove it, that you may prove. Now, I got one other place here on verse, go down to the next verse, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man, given unto me, I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. Now he's talking to every single believer in this church, in every church, any church. If God would say this to a church in Rome, he would say it to any church. He said, I'm saying this to you, brethren, to everybody. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But to think soberly according to God, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. When you got born again, the same Holy Spirit came into your heart to make you a new creature. We all have the same measure of faith. Some people say, well, she's got more faith than I do. You develop your faith because there's a way you can't ask God for faith. You can't pray for faith. That's not even scriptural because nowhere does you see even an example where people pray for faith and get it. Oh, they ask God to increase their faith, but you can't. You get faith one way. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You tend to the word, and faith cometh. You tend to the word, and it develops your faith. But we all start out with the same measure of faith. And I'm so convinced that most folks just don't take it serious, what they can do with that measure. You can increase your faith. You've been given a measure of faith. Well, do something with it. Make it more measure. Make your measure big. You can grow your faith. You can grow your faith in God's word. You can grow your faith and develop your ability to believe God. I'm telling you, you can develop your faith in God. And there's some that are giants. I'd say there's only been a handful of people. This is my feelings. There's only been a handful of people in this 20th century, in the last 200 years, who really walked in complete faith in God. I'd say Smith Wigglesworth did. 26 people was raised from the dead in his ministry. There's people who finally cross over and they finally surrender everything and believe God and trust God 100%. 100%. Produce 100% fruit. Catherine Kuhlman, there's been several in our life, not in my lifetime so much. I believe Kenneth Hagin was another one who walked in a surrendered life and produced, who knew the word of God and followed the shepherd 100%. It's really all about us more than it is about God, because he's already provided everything in the new birth. It's all provided. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I seal this word today. I trust, Father God, it was a word of encouragement. I trust, Father God, it was a word of to move us into greater understanding, to move us into greater, to challenge us. That's the word, to challenge all of us for greater understanding, greater wisdom, knowledge. And Lord, that we pray this prayer in Ephesians 1:17, give us the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, and the spirit of revelation and knowledge of you. Let our eyes of understanding be enlightened, that we can know what is the hope of our calling. And we just trust you, God, today to help us hear the voice of the Good Shepherd every single day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.